Burns to delay his report for 10 days. The Atlanta Journal, Saturday, the 11th of April, 1914, page 1, column 7. Detectives' agents unable to corroborate statements against Frank's character indications were on Saturday that the report of Detective William J. Burns on the Mary Fagan murder case will not be made public for 10 days or more. It was generally expected that the detective would complete his investigation and make his report during the early part of next week, but recent developments indicate that he will be further delayed. Mr. Burns stated on Saturday that he had not received a single tip as the result of his public request for information derogatory to the character of Leo M. Frank. By his statements, the detective showed still more conclusively that he and his agents have been unable to corroborate the charges made against Frank's character at his trial. The Journal's letterbox editor. The Journal, talk about universal peace. It looks like universal war. War has been a constant thing in Mexico, Southern Europe, and in other parts of the world. It seems that Mexico will never get reconciled unless the United States intervenes. Things there have gone from bad to worse. Intervention into the affairs of Mexico by the United States would certainly cause war. Yet it seems that the United States must either restore order or give up the Monroe Doctrine and let some other nation do so. Under the present circumstances, the administration at Washington can do nothing. President Wilson's hands and feet are tied hard and fast. He even dares not open his mouth about the Mexican situation. Our president is very wise. Well may he keep his mouth shut. There is England mad at us on one side and Japan on another. England claims that the law which allows American coastwise vessels to pass through the Panama Canal free is a violation of her treaty rights. In the treaty, the United States agreed to treat the ships of all nations alike, and as the United States is a nation, it is clear that Great Britain is only demanding her just rights. Our relations are strained with Great Britain. Already she has refused to take part in the Panama Exposition at San Francisco, California. English citizens have been murdered in Mexico, for which England holds the United States responsible. The fortification of the Panama Canal was against England's religion. Who can blame our president for playing shut mouth and hands off? Something is going to happen. England has appropriated over $200 million to build warships this year. Japan and other countries are enlarging their navies. Shall the United States be aroused only by the thunder of cannon and the clash of sabers? Shall we, the people of the United States as a nation, maintain our independence? Or shall we fall as the nations of antiquity have done? If we are to maintain our independence, which our forefathers have fought, bled, and died for, we must hold our axe to the grindstone. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Bought wit is very dear, but fools take no other. But still, the greatest lesson anyone ever learned is that of adversity. In case of war with any first-class power, the United States would lose the Philippine and Hawaiian Islands, Alaska, Panama Canal, and Puerto Rico at the first blow. Let us hope that peace shall reign and that amity among nations shall exist. But at the same time, we should watch and be ready. Nothing would suit the Republican Party better than for the United States to get into a war and throw the Democratic administration into a hole. The Republicans in Congress oppose the repeal of that part of the canal toll law, which is a violation of the treaty with England. Their motives are to kill the Democratic Party by causing some calamity, which will injure domestic tranquility, and blame the Democrats for the result as they were blamed for the panic during Cleveland's administration. Adairsville, Georgia. W.C. Cantrell, editor of the Journal. It is admitted that a country location is more desirable for a high school or college than a location in a large town or city, owing to the country's freedom from those influences which tend to foster vice and dissipation. Among the sections in the country offering superior advantages for students, none offer so many as the mountain sections, particularly western North Carolina and North Georgia, possessing as these sections do an ideal climate, excellent native citizenship, and so many attractions which are an incentive and an inspiration to those seeking an education. For the study of nature is one of the principal parts of an education, in its truest sense. One of the most desirable places for the location of a large school is at Hayesville, in Clay County, located at the extreme western end of North Carolina. Beautifully situated in the lovely and picturesque Hiawassee Valley, there is no place more desirable for a large boarding school than here. Already there is an excellent state high school, the superintendent being Prof. E. L. Adams, formerly of Young Harris College, Young Harris, Georgia, assisted by a core of efficient teachers, which school is doing fine work and fully meeting the demands of the section in which it is located. Yet owing to lack of funds with which to provide suitable buildings and equipment, it cannot accommodate the large number of students which it would naturally draw with the proper equipment. A quarter of a century ago, the school drew a patronage from this and several surrounding states, but gradually lost its patronage for want of needed equipment. But now, under the present management, this school is on the upgrade and is regaining its former prestige, and with adequate equipment would become one of the leading high schools in the South, with its splendid teaching core and many natural advantages. The object of this article is to call the attention of those interested in education to a great opportunity. A person of means and interested in the educational uplift of this section who would help to build and equip a school here could find no better field than this, either as an individual enterprise by personally cooperating with Profarla's Adams, or by aiding with funds for equipment or endowment, or both. Here in this centrally located section could be built a school which would do great things for the educational uplift of the mountain sections of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia, and would even extend beyond the limits of the mountains. And a school of this kind established here would find no competitor between Asheville, Knoxville, and Atlanta, most of the schools in this section being only ordinary high schools or secondary colleges. The writer of this article has absolutely no personal interest in the matter except the interest he has in general education and in his section. And this article is written with the hope of fostering an institution which would be the pride of the entire mountain section. W.M. H. Harrison, Hayesville, N.C., March 6, 1914. Ithaca, N.Y., April 2, 1914. Editor The Journal. We, the undersigned college classmates of Leo M. Frank, and now resident at Cornell University, wish to commend you for the fair and impartial attitude which you have taken toward Frank's case. Regardless of one's opinion about the probable guilt or innocence of the accused, it seems to us that the circumstances of the trial were not favorable to a fair and judicial consideration of the merits of the case. We confidently hope that the sense of fair play and honesty which has always characterized the actions of the citizens of Georgia in similar matters will secure for Frank a new trial. Sincerely yours, Emsis Halliday, District Attorney, Tompkins County, Arthur G. Adams, Attorney, Harry C. Baldwin, Attorney, John D. Collins, Attorney, George G. Bogert, Assistant Professor of Law, George W. Gillette, Ph.D., Alloy Chemist, U.S. Bureau of Mines, Forrest Lee, M.D., Assistant Medical Advisor, Cornell University, Charles H. Tuck, Professor, College of Agriculture, Editor, The Journal. Dear Sir, I am a stranger in your town, and find it hard work to get around the city readily on account of streets not being marked at corners. Why don't you try to stir the people up to putting a small card on the buildings at each intersection bearing the name of the street? It would be a great help to people not acquainted, and I guess you will have plenty of them when the Shriners get here. Very respectfully, E. E. H. Weber.